Why is New York a blue state, Wyoming a red, and Ohio a shade of purple? Well, from now until Election Day 2008, I'll be talking to journalists, scholars, and activists from each of the 50 states to find out what motivates voters from Maine to California for our new series, States of the Union. And joining me now to discuss what will get Iowa voters to the polls is O.K. Henderson, news director for Radio Iowa. She's been covering politics in the Hawkeye State for more than 20 years, and I'm pleased to welcome her to this, the first installment of States of the Union. Hello.
Hello to you.
Now, do I refer to you as O, as K, or as O.K.?
Well, my first name is Onet. My middle name is Kay, and you may call me Kay.
Have all the candidates been visiting Iowa over the past few weeks?
Well, just to give you a glimpse into my life, I interviewed Rudy Giuliani, Barack Obama, John McCain, and Sam Brown back yesterday.
Mm. So you're trying to hit all the candidates?
They are all here very often.
And are they talking about issues that tend to have a national importance, or have they been focusing very much on the things that Iowa's voters want to hear?
You are having the national campaign play out here. Parochial issues such as farm subsidies occasionally come up, but that's not the predominant issue here. It's the war in Iraq, the war on terrorism, spending on the part of Republicans and taxes, those issues. Democrats focused often on the health care issue. So they're issues that are talked about all across the country, not just in Iowa.
And are those the issues that will get out the vote in Iowa, or are there specific issues that Iowans might list as their top three?
Well, this past week, the American Hospital Association released a survey which was fairly interesting. It asked voters what they wanted to ask the candidates about, which I thought was an interesting way to pose the question. The folks that they surveyed among the Democrats indicated that 60% of them wanted to ask about health care, while basically the rest of them, the other 40%, wanted to ask about the war in Iraq and the war on terrorism. Whereas among Republicans, things were much more split. It was almost a four-way tie on these issues. Of course, the war on terror in Iraq. Health care was uppermost in the minds of Republicans, but also taxes and spending issues. And then almost a quarter of Republicans that were surveyed by the American Hospital Association said they were very concerned about the immigration issue. I think those are survey results that you would find among Republicans all across the nation.
But health care seems to be the big issue for Democrats and Republicans.
Correct.
What's different about the way that the candidates campaign in Iowa from the rest of the country and later in the campaign cycle?
Well,
I mean, are they experimenting with how they're going to present themselves and frame the issues?
Truly, they used to do that. But because of the compression of the election calendar with Iowa, followed closely by New Hampshire and South Carolina and Nevada, and then all of those other huge states holding election contests, not even a month later, you have intense media scrutiny on these candidates. So they can't really come out on the hustings in Iowa and send up a trial balloon or sit in a living room in some small town in Iowa and sort of ask people what they think about some particular idea, because it's going to be picked up and covered, since these candidates are closely followed by the media in Iowa and nationally as well.
And the compression also means that what comes out of Iowa will have more importance than it may have in the past.
Correct.
Because there's so little time to make a decision.
Right. There's always a converse reaction when all of these other states, such as Michigan, push to move their primaries closer to the date when Iowa's is scheduled. It merely makes Iowa's contest more important, because a candidate cannot stumble in Iowa and then have enough time to recover to make up for that mistake in succeeding contests.
How do the caucuses work?
The caucuses work very differently from a primary. They're held in neighborhood town hall meeting sites. So some people will gather in a church. A few people may gather in the back of the insurance agent's office on Main Street. they will, on the Democratic side, be much more complicated than on the Republican side. So I'll just tell you what Republicans will do. Republicans in these fewer than 2,000 meetings on January 3rd will pass out pieces of paper. People who attend will write down a name. The pieces of paper will be collected, and there will be a tally of those straw poll votes, which will then be called into Des Moines and tabulated at a central tabulation center.
How is that any different than a primary?
It's a little different because you are sitting among friends. You can talk about the votes. People may have an opportunity to sort of lobby folks on the way in and out. Whereas, as you know, in a secret ballot cast in a primary, there's not supposed to be that kind of intense politicking within, you know, several yards of the polling place itself,
mm-hmm.
which gives a person the idea that they are casting a secret ballot. Whereas in this instance, your neighbor who's counting the ballots may recognize your signature, may recognize your writing on that piece of paper.
And the Democrats do it differently?
The Democrats do it much differently. On the Democratic side, it is a test of delegate strength. Each precinct has a number of delegates which are elected that evening to go on to county-level conventions. So what happens is that folks stand up in groups. You know, there'll be a group in one corner supporting Hillary Clinton, another group supporting John Edwards, another group supporting Barack Obama, and on down the line. Then they will determine if each of those groups has enough people in it to represent 15% of the people in attendance at the meeting. Now, this is I'm a journalist because I don't like math, but bear with me a little bit. So if a candidate at that precinct-level meeting does not have 15% support in that room, those people who support another candidate, let's say, for instance, a Chris Dodd, on a second go-round of voting, they are going to have to stand with another candidate who is judged viable. So, for instance, if some of these candidates that are not Hillary Clinton, are not judged viable in that first round, they may go to a Barack Obama and a John Edwards rather than a Hillary Clinton. So it could be fairly interesting in terms of the final tally and how that all shakes out. So what happens then is the number of delegates for each of the candidates wins is determined by the number of people it's apportioned in that room. Is that a good story problem?
Well, it's clear, but it also sounds rather unfair to the candidates who are hoping to break through, because if
right.
there's just a secret ballot, they may turn out to have a surprising show of support.
It is not a secret ballot. People literally have to stand in clumps. So when you say stand with me, if you were a Barack Obama or a Hillary Clinton or John Edwards, it means people literally have to stand up and go stand in a group of people that are supporting Hillary Clinton. So this is a very public statement in your neighborhood that you want Hillary Clinton to be your next president or you want Barack Obama to be your next president.
And why do Iowans prefer this to a secret ballot?
That's just the way Democrats have always done it. Now, the Iowa caucuses gained national prominence in 1976 because a fellow by the name of Jimmy Carter came out here and finished second behind undecided. in the 1976 caucuses, and he chose to come out here because when an evaluation was made of the 1972 election, it was shown that George McGovern did spend some time in Iowa and laid some groundwork and had sort of a surprising finish in the Iowa caucuses. And so that is how this thing all got rolling, because the Democratic Party decided that it would come up with a nomination calendar rather than sort of picking a nominee in a smoke-filled back room. And Iowa's caucuses sort of came to the fore because they were an early event on the campaign schedule.
My guest is Kay Henderson, news director for Radio Iowa. This is the first of our series called States of the Union, in mm-hmm. which we look at what's happening during this election cycle. Mm-hmm. Is fundraising within Iowa a good indicator of how the caucuses will go?
No. Easy answer to that question.
So this is, I guess, one of the things that that Iowans are proud of is that they can cut through all of that other stuff that the rest of America gets involved with and come up with an individual approach to the election cycle.
Right. They can make individual judgments because they have seen these candidates in person and perhaps in some instances been able to ask them a question directly. So that is an experience that as the campaign winds down the road to some of the larger states, the candidates will land, have a news conference, get back in their plane and go somewhere else. So the nature of the campaign here is very much different than it is in other states. The other thing, earlier on you mentioned about red states and blue states. One of the things about Iowa that is unique is that it has been one of these swing states in the past several elections, and many attribute that to the fact that these Iowa caucuses have developed a cadre of professional campaign staff that you may not have in other states. You have people who've run a presidential campaign, they know how to strategize, they know how to turn voters out, and so that translates into state-level contests, and that's why Democrats and Republicans are fairly competitive in the state.
It's also a white state. It's one of the whitest states in America, isn't it?
It is, although a really interesting statistic is that there are now more Latino Iowans than there are Iowans who derive a majority of their income from the act of farming.
So does that mean immigration is a more complicated issue in Iowa than one might expect?
It is. As you may recall, there were several meatpacking plants that were raided this past spring by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. One of those meatpacking plants was in central Iowa in Marshalltown.
Because pork is such an important part of the Iowan economy?
Right.
What are the most important constituencies in Iowa? Do unions still play a big role in Iowa's politics?
The growing unions seem to play a role. Last time around in 2004, Dick Gephardt had the support of many unions in the country, but it really didn't translate, obviously, into a good caucus night for him. Some of the new unions, like AFSCME and the Service Employees International Union, are quite politically active in this country, state, and they've been relatively effective at state-level contests. For instance, we had a governor by the name of Tom Vilsack, who was not well-known throughout the state, but he was able to be the victor in a Democratic primary, and many attribute that to the support that he got from state, county, and municipal employees.
And AFSCME has endorsed Hillary Clinton.
AFSCME has endorsed Hillary Clinton. But the caveat on this is that, of course, AFSCME endorsed Howard Dean last time around, and we all know how well that turned out.
This year, farmers have planted one of the largest corn crops in U.S. history, and as the country's largest corn-producing state, ethanol has to be very important to Iowans. Is it an issue that divides down partisan lines?
It is not. Most every candidate who campaigns in Iowa expresses support for the renewable fuels industry, with the notable exception of John McCain. In fact, just this past week, John McCain appeared in Ames, Iowa, which is probably about 20 miles from one of the largest ethanol plants in the state. And he declared that, again, he doesn't believe in subsidies for anything, and he is not in favor of the ethanol subsidy.
Now, in past two elections, Iowa went for Bush in 2004 by a very narrow margin. He got 50% of the vote. Kerry got 49.3. In the 2000 election, Gore won, but by a very, very close margin as well.
Just over 2,000 votes. It was something like 2,006 votes.
So is this the most purple of all the purple states?
It may indeed be, and that's my favorite color.
And have things changed at all over the past 4 years, or do we expect to see the same kind of tight race in this next election?
I suspect Iowa may again be one of those 13 to 15 swing states, primarily because both parties are well organized in the state. The one caveat that I would put in that is I see an intensity level among Democrats in this state that I don't see among Republicans. And that sort of hunch was, confirmed this past week by a poll from, the American Hospital Association. One of the Republican pollsters who worked on that poll said that when they asked Iowa voters and tried to judge their intensity level, Democrats were twice as likely to want to go to a caucus as were Republicans.
It's interesting that the eastern part of the state seems to vote largely Democratic and
right.
the western part largely Republican. Is that because the state is because the western part was closer to the frontier?
I'm not sure that's it. I do know there are there's a vast majority of western Iowa that is not heavily populated. It does have some of the bastions of conservative Republicans living in that western section of the state, whereas if you look at how the population is distributed across Iowa, if you go from Des Moines east, two-thirds of the state's population is from Des Moines to the east, whereas one-third of the state's population is from Des Moines to Omaha.
And it's interesting to look at the two senators. Chuck Grassley is a Republican. Tom Harkin
right.
is a Democrat.
And Iowans seem fairly comfortable with, sort of canceling votes out on a regular basis.
Barack Obama is emphasizing the number of Republicans who are crossing party lines to vote for him. Does that help him in the caucuses?
I'm not sure that it does, because as we discussed earlier, for a Republican to go to a Democratic caucus, they can't just sneak in and write Barack Obama's name on a piece of paper. They must stand in a group of with other Democrats and show to all of their neighbors that not only are they attending a Democratic caucus, but they're supporting Barack Obama. I think that would be very difficult for someone to do in front of their neighbors if they've been a lifelong Republican, or at least a Republican-leaning voter who's been active in Republican Party politics. But Obama and his supporters seem to think that it could come to fruition on caucus night, that these Republicans will turn out for him.
Yesterday, Sam Brownback, who withdrew from the race, endorsed John McCain. Did you find that as a surprising thing? Because wouldn't Mike Huckabee have been a more logical choice for him?
I didn't find it that surprising, because for some unknown reason, Huckabee is not the choice of the party establishment. He hasn't received a lot of backing from traditional conservatives in this state or at the national level. He's been a target often of the Club for Growth in paid advertising in this state. So I think he's sort of going it alone. The interesting thing is that he appears among all the Republican candidates to be the one positioned best to challenge Mitt Romney here.
So you're not going to make predictions, are you?
Oh, check back in maybe 30 days and I will. But I think the race on the Democratic side is a three-way race. It's different here because John Edwards is a more viable candidate here, perhaps because, this might surprise you, there is a very active peace activist network in Iowa. And his apology for voting to authorize the war has had a lot of resonance with those folks. And if you go to his campaign events, those peace activists are really engaged in his campaign. And I think that's the key to why John Edwards is much more competitive when you look at Iowa-only public opinion polls as compared to national polls. On the Republican side, Romney has held in many of the public opinion polls kind of a third of the support. In a surprising move last week, in an interview I did with him, he said he'd be happy with first, second, or third. I'm not quite sure where that came from, but he's already starting to downplay expectations.
We thank you so much for talking with us. O.K. Henderson, news director for Radio Iowa. We've been talking with her in the first installment of our States of the Union segments. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the invitation.